Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Well, I am so very excited about this evening, and I just love Thursday night. I really do, because, well, Thursday, the next day is Friday, and then the weekend, and so it goes for me. I always loved, having time off to go and play, so that's what I do on my radio show. So without further ado, as you all know, I have promoted this worldwide. We have the wonderful, multi-talented Johnny Pisano on tonight. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, how you doing? How's it going?
It's going great. Oh, by the way, where are you located? Are you in New York or are you in Jersey now?
No, I live in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. That's where I grew up, born and raised, and I'm still here. But you're going to have to peel me out of this neighborhood. The rent is still low, and everywhere else in New York is so high. So, you're going to have to kill me to get me out of this neighborhood right now.
Yeah, well, besides that's you're a Pisano. You're a Pisano. You know, you've got to stay with your family. I'm sure you have family and lots of great friends there.
I do, yeah. I never really was attached. When I was a kid, I kind of rebelled at an early age, and I just kept feeling really drawn to the Lower East Side, Manhattan, or West Village, East Village, and I would go there. I would play hooky from school and just go there, and I just felt so at home there. I felt more comfortable there than anywhere else because growing up in this neighborhood is very segregated. When I grew up here, it's not that way anymore, but when I was a kid, it's a predominantly Italian mafia-run neighborhood, which is fine. It is what it is. But I never felt really connected as I did when I went to the Village, and I would walk into like a coffee shop, and there'd be some guy with a green mohawk dating a black girl, a white guy and a black girl, and then there would be lesbians in the corner, and there'd be some other guy, playing Whistling Dixie on a flute, and no one is looking at anyone crooked or differently. And it just felt so great to be in that atmosphere that everyone could be their individual selves and promote themselves with their individualities and wear it like a badge, and no one cares, and it's totally fine. And back then, if you did that in my neighborhood, you would get rocks thrown at you and you'd get made fun of or whatever. Which I did at times because I was different. But just because I'm Italian doesn't mean I embrace it wholeheartedly. I'm a person. Right. That's how I feel. I feel equal to everyone else. I've always felt this way.
Right.
It's just the way I think. Yeah.
Right. I want to back up a minute for all of those of you that have not heard this wonderful bass player. You know, Johnny is a bass player as well, as in my promo. I said, you know, I was sitting home one night watching TV late at night, because I'm a night owl, and I'm a musician myself, so, you know, I tend toward being up at night. And I'm looking, and all of a sudden I see Johnny Pye up there on the TV, the big screen. I'm going, holy moly, I didn't know he was an actor as well, and a high jumper. My God, but I'm going to ask you that one question that I asked, and then we can move on and just, talk about your, some more New York City and all of that. While you were growing up, who influenced you the most and why? And it could be anybody. It doesn't have to be your family or anything like that.
Well, it's not such a short answer, unfortunately, if you don't mind hearing me yap about it. When I was 10 years old, it was me and my friend, Mike Buffa, his name is, and we would be in front of my boombox, and I had blasting Kiss records. And I would pretend I was Gene with a baseball bat, and he would pretend he was Ace with a tennis racket. And at that point, we were just kids and, just pretending. But I always heard bass in any music I listened to. When I was listening to Led Zeppelin back then or whatever it was, that my sister was turning me on to some good rock and roll and stuff. Yeah, like for some reason, my ear would go to the bass, even at a young age. So as we got a little older, when we were 13, me and Mike, his neighbor was a guitar teacher, Emil Crisitello, who's in a wedding band, and he says, I'll teach you both. I'll teach you bass and you guitar at the same time. And that's what he did.
Oh,
so my first instrument was bass. I didn't, most bass players start on guitar for many years and then they go to bass later. I kind of play a little guitar just so I could write songs with it, but I've always been a bass player all the way deep down through and through. So he would be teaching me bass and him guitar at the same time, so you know we could hopefully start a band, and he'd be blowing pot smoke in our face at the same time. And then after a couple of months of lessons, he kind of taught me, and I taught myself how to learn by ear. So then the thing I would do was I was just starving for any kind of music that had great bass guitar in it. So I went from everything from, like I said, The Who, Led Zeppelin, to, some more hard rock, progressive rock. Iron Maiden had good bass in it. And then I discovered Bob Marley's, and I was like, whoa.
All right.
I just sat home and struggled to learn through that entire Legend record. And then I got other stuff of his and was learning that bass player. His bass player is amazing. And then it was just the Beatles and anything that had good bass. So when you asked me that question, I was influenced by everything. It wasn't just one thing. It was anything that had a great bass line. Yeah, I got into King Crimson for a while. There's a bass player, King Crimson.
Got a hold of you and... Oh, here we go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Wait,
I have my sheet in front of me, too, not to interrupt.
No. No, it's fine.
I do. I have bass player in front of me.
You have who in front of you?
I have chatter teeth. You know those old chatter teeth? You wind them up, and then it makes you all that noise. I could do it for the audience, but I'll pass tonight. I do it once in a while. But it's because I talk so much, and I forget. Wait a minute. This show is really for Johnny tonight. It's not, like, all about Nancy, but when I have people on the show, I've written myself signs, all kinds of things. I've had my good friend Vinny Lopez on my show several times. And he was just, when he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he came on my show, and he didn't hardly talk about it. And I said, Vinny, come on, this show is about you, and he goes, oh, Nancy, he said like a sentence about it, about his induction into Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I go, but it's about you, then. He goes, no, he goes, everybody loves your stories, Nancy. You have such great stories. I said, that's because I'm old. That's because I've been around so long. But anyway, getting back to this fellow that taught you and your friend, your best friend, how to play, he was like a pivotal, that was such an important person in your life to get you running. Well, you got yourself running. I can tell by the way you talk, like you were, playing hooky and going into the village. So you were ready to, you're an entertainer. And you wanted to be out there and be seen and recognized, and that's what you do. And you're great at it, Johnny. So keep it up.
Well, thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
Leave your bio.
It's a lot of work, some people might think it's easy, and just because the word play is in what we do as musicians, in order to be any good at anything, it takes a unlimited hours of struggle per day of practicing and finding your way and finding your niche. So I was just influenced by anything with great bass in it. And everyone from Tony Levin, who that seems to be my favorite bass player after all these years. If I had to pick one, it would be Tony Levin. He plays with Peter Gabriel now, but he's played on all this.
Okay.
He's played on Milk and Honey with Lennon. He's played on a million things. But obviously, Paul McCartney and all these other incredible bass players. I was even influenced by Graham Mabey, who is a local Jersey, I think he lives in Jersey, and I wound up getting to meet him later on.
Right.
I got to tell him that. And ironically, I said, hey, I don't know if this guy Willie Nile I play with, but I just want you to know how influenced I was growing up. I learned all your bass lines. I sat home as a kid and I wanted to know everything you played. And he was so honored by that. And he goes, And yeah, I know Willie Nile. That's great. Like, he happened to know who I played with, and it was just, it
right.
was beautiful. He's such a great guy. So it was nice to meet one of the people who actually, who I sat home and aspired to play more like. And then, like, then someone, then when I was like 14, 15, someone, or 13, somewhere in there, Mike's older brother, Billy, he introduced me to punk rock. And it wasn't about the bass lines anymore. It was about the lyrics. It was about these people had something strong to say, and they used this type of music as a platform to say it. And that really got me and appealed to my rebellious side, what I was saying to you earlier about me just not conforming, just never wanting to be just like every other sheep in the herd. And
right.
I'm always trying to do
right.
something different. And then all of a sudden, every song on the radio I notice is just about love, love this, breakup, blah, 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 pop songs and this and that. This punk shit I was listening to, oh, I'm sorry,
uh-oh.
Am I allowed to curse on your station?
Hey, Jelly, we're GP, so we have to bleep that word.
Okay,
really.
No problem. Sorry about that. No, I
That's
won't
right.
curse.
Don't worry
I'll remember
about
not
it.
To. So I was just in loved it. I'm like, here's this, why is this guy telling me about one punk song was Corporate Death Burger, Ronald McDonald. And I'm like, what is he saying? Why is he saying that? What is that? And it,
right.
you know, he was talking
right.
against McDonald's. So why is he talking against McDonald's? I needed to know.
Right.
So I dug into the rest of the lyrics, and it made me look things up. So I was really shitty. Sorry, again, there's that word. I was really crappy in school. But these guys wound up being part of my political science teachers and my history teachers, because they were singing about stuff I didn't know about. The Dead Kennedys,
right.
and even though the Dead Kennedys were actually very musical, but a lot of these other punk bands, they're not known for their musicality. They're not known as for their Beethoven sense of structure
right,
of music.
Exactly.
They do
melodies,
three
right.
power chords, and they get three power chords,
melodies.
And they
they're
go.
They're known for their messages, right? They're not known for the melodies.
Well,
they're known for the messages.
Well, yeah, I mean, the melodies are there because that's what they're singing, if they're singing, unless they're screaming.
Right.
right? It's about the message.
The message.
Yeah, it's all about
that, yeah.
It's all about the message, and that's what I was attracted to. So then I was into everything.
I love the
everything
song.
With good bass.
I'm going to interrupt you. You're a talker. I'm going to interrupt you just for 1 second. You just reminded me of a song that I wrote, and it's called What Makes a Punk a Punk? And it's really long, so I'll have to just type it out and I'll send it to you. But it's very interesting because I have a lovely I have two daughters, and they're like the yin and the yang, you know. They're so opposite. And my one daughter, who I adore, was actually tested as a teenager, and she is a genius, and she is she's a punk. I don't know if she'd be offended if I called her a punk rocker, because she's such an individualist, you know. She's so different, and I just love her to death. But in the beginning, I was like, oh, please, don't do that. Don't have purple hair. Your hair is so gorgeous. Oh, no. It was hard for me. And then I wrote that song because I finally got it, that, wait a minute, this is my beautiful and half Italian daughter, you know, gorgeous, gorgeous daughter, and long, beautiful locks of hair. And then she was like shaving it off and having mohawks and doing all this. And I'm like, oh, no. What is this? But anyway, I soon learned that, you know, this was what she wanted to do, and she is still, you know, she's into that. She's into tattoos and piercing and things like that. My other daughter is, like, just completely different. But anyway, they live in a great place for that, and they live in Portland, Oregon. So
that's great.
Play in those places, Portland and Seattle and all those places, because they really, you know, there's so many people that, like, are really into that lifestyle and that and love that music, you know.
Well, it's funny when people tell me what's your favorite place to go. One of the places on my list is Portland. People don't realize how great, and maybe it's good that people don't realize it, so they don't go there and ruin it with the tourism, because it is just a magical
exactly.
place of a lot of hippies and artists And I, now that you told me this, I would love to see a photo of your daughter. I want to hear that song that you wrote with the lyrics, and I need a photo of that chatter teeth that you mentioned earlier. So there's my request from you.
I'll do that.
Good.
Listen, John, when you go to Oregon, you have to go. Like, I've been here already 3 times. I'm going again because I love it so much. I'm going. You have to go to a place called Multnomah Falls. It's the second tallest falls in the United States. And since you like to jump so high, you will really appreciate this. I had to take the photograph in 2 shots because it was so tall I couldn't back up enough. I would have been in the lake behind me to take a photograph, with the camera I had. But it's the second tallest falls in the United States, and it is absolutely magnificent. And they have a bridge in the middle of it so you can actually walk up. And it's got all these humongous trees, and you can walk up and stand there in the middle of the falls, and it is awesome. And then they have a place called Lake Klamath that they claim has spiritual properties in the water. Like, people go there like you would to go to Lourdes, and I think that's in France, where you could get healed or something like that. But anyway, getting back to Johnny, the ever-so-popular Johnny Pye, everybody's got to know you now because I promoted you worldwide, and I mean it. And I mean right on their timeline, where in groups like inside the music business, my friend Eric Klein, he has like 17,000 members. And that's just like, and on lots of Bruce, thank you. I always say, Bruce, thank you. The minute I posted you on Bruce Springsteen, Land of Hopes and Dreams, I'm getting from their administrator, thank you, Nancy. We love your promo on our timeline. So, like, you really went all over. You went into Croatia, Brazil, everywhere. You can't imagine. In the Italian land, you went everywhere. And I enjoyed doing it so much. Because I've been
thank you so much.
For, like,
that's
for at least 5 years probably. Because I remember
thank
the
you
first
so
time
much.
I saw it. You're welcome. The first time I saw you playing with Willie Nile, I asked Willie right away, and I asked Willie, I said to this Willie, after the show, I said, hey, Willie, you know my brother Willie? Well, I call him Willie. A lot of people maybe not know him by Willie, but he's second on the monument out there. His name is Billy Ryan, the guitar man, they call him. And he's a jazz blues guitarist. And he was asked to be with Bruce, and he didn't go with Bruce. He was 5 years older. But he went with, and here I go again, talking, but the James Cotton Blues Band, and then he went on tour for a year and a half with Clarence Clemons and the Red Bank Rockers. So I grew up listening to my brother Billy play the guitar, and if you haven't listened to my CD, you've got to go to it and listen. I am a country rock Billy, singer-songwriter, guitar player, and executive record producer. So you've got to go listen to my CD and see what you think. But
I would love to.
Once my CD hit, I was getting asked to go into New York and bring my guitar and play and be on all these radio shows. And I got into broadcasting and supporting local talent. It was just what I was supposed to do when I came back to Jersey. But I'm sorry. Interrupt me anytime. That's what they told me when I went on the Joey Reynolds show. They said, interrupt them because you won't get a word in edgewise. So go ahead.
That's
because
funny.
I have so much background with music that it's hard for me not to start remembering my stories when you're talking about your stories. So how many siblings do you have?
I have an older sister, 8 years older than me,
okay.
Yeah. She actually...
And is she into music at all?
Yeah, when I was a kid, she would... she had these great records that I didn't know what they were. And she was... Her and her friend downstairs, this neighbor, was turning me on to some really cool stuff before I even knew what it was when I was 6 years old, 8 years old. They had
right.
these rock records. Yeah, the Flying Lizards. You know, Pink Floyd.
Oh, wow.
I remember the Cheech and Chong record was a comedy record, but it came on vinyl. And when you open it up, it came with a giant slice of bamboo. If you wanted to roll a joint the size of a loose leaf paper, there's stuff
they
you just
so
remember.
Fun,
and you know,
yeah.
I mean, Shaft. You know, that record when
you're
fold it out and it becomes a giant poster. There's some really great stuff they turned me on to.
Yeah, I wish I had that memorabilia. I wish I had some of that memorabilia. I have stuff from the Upstage, you know, and I have stuff from Asbury Park, and I'll tell you what I have. I have the memories of growing up in Asbury Park, which are like pretty darn incredible. And, you know, I'm writing a book, and I have just the memories of being like you, going out and being very friendly and outwardly friendly. I'm really Abdul. Like, I don't know, a lot of musicians are like this. I think I can only speak for myself. But when you work like you do, you have downtime, and maybe you know, anyway. Tell me whatever you want to tell me, and just say, Nancy, keep quiet. So, Donnie, go ahead, talk.
No, I don't.
When did you meet Willie Nile, and how long have you been playing with Willie now?
It was 2007, I believe, and Willie was looking for a bass player, and he had asked Jesse Mallon, and because I played with Jesse for 5 years, and when he asked Jesse, hey, I'm looking for a bass player, do you know anybody? Jesse immediately gave him my number and said, this is your guy. And I did my very first, we did a real gig at the PNC Arts Center. It was my first real gig with Willie. We opened up for the Counting Crows, and that's kind of what he was looking for, a bass player
that's
for.
Great.
And then it started from there. Yeah, and it was Frankie Lee, who might be listening right now at Karen Medlin's house. Who Karen Medlin was one of the executive producers on my record, actually. And, yeah, it was me and Frankie. I'm trying to remember the other guys. And we had a great first gig. Before that, ironically, I was learning the songs. I got these songs a few months in advance. And I was helping out with you remember the Hurricane Katrina, and there was benefits, and there was a music benefit, and I was helping out my friend Kira. Yeah, I was helping out Kira, who was a photographer. She actually did stuff, did some photos for the record as well. She was putting on a show, and I was literally just going to help the bands go on and off, and Willie Nile was one of the bands. I wasn't playing that night. I was just playing stage manager as a volunteer. So then I met Willie, and he said, hey, listen, my bass player, Brad Albetta, showed up at the wrong venue. He showed up at the wrong venue. He's in Williamsburg somewhere, and we were in Southpaw in Park Slope.
Oh, goodness.
And I said, oh, man, well, you got to go on in 5 minutes. And he said, do you know these songs? I said, well, I have been playing them a little at home. He goes, well, why don't you borrow somebody's bass and get on stage? So my real first gig with Willie was a fluke. And it was me and Willie. It was Rich Pagano. If you know Rich Pagano is on drums, it just happened. It was just a magical thing. And it was a good thing that I did. I was messing with the songs at home. I already knew what he wanted to play, because we weren't playing for an hour. It was just like five songs or whatever. So it was Jimmy Vivino, who was on the Conan O'Brien show. He and a guitar player and band leader when Max Weinberg is away. With Bruce, and so it was Jimmy Vivino, and Rich Pagano, who's the drummer of the Fab Four, and other really great bands. We did that. That was my real first gig with Willie, and ever since then, it was me, Willie, and Frankie for the next few years. We would go as a trio. We went to Italy. We went to Spain. We would go anywhere. You know, I have a car, so I always wound up driving these guys. Before that, these guys were taking trains and people were picking them up and stuff. Then then Willie wanted to expand the band, and he wanted a steady guitar player. And Frankie actually was working for ASCAP, the publishing company, and he couldn't always get out of work. So we wound up getting Alex Alexander, and then Matt Hogan. And that's been basically the core of the band for the past, like, 6 years.
Right. Yeah, well, it's a great band. I mean, I just love you guys. Like I said, when I first saw Willie, I went up to him. I said, hey, you know Willie? And he goes, oh, yeah, because Willie, my brother Billy is like, you know, well, no, he won't want me to say, but, you know, he's past 70, let's put it that way. And yeah, sure, I know him. And I said, well, I just have to tell you, Willie, that you guys are the greatest. I mean, I just enjoyed, like, I had been back to New Jersey not that long. I came back to New Jersey from San Diego. I went to San Diego in my early 30s, and I came back, and I took care of my mom. And when she passed away, it took me a while to get back into the music scene. But once I did, I got back in and started, you know, listening to all the local music, and it was so exciting. And I just right away kind of got into, I did my CD, which was, you know, it was just meant to be the way it happened. I got into radio, like I said. It's like my song, Still Indecision, is in the top. It's usually, it's number three, I think, right now. It usually stays at two. And it's on, it's been in the top 10 Reverb Nation consecutively for 4 years. So, like, this year I have a management behind me that's taking it to all the right people. Oh, and I'd like to say that to you, too, because I'll take your CD and anyone that comes on my show. I want to say this now, actually. I do want to give a shout-out that I celebrated my 70th birthday. I know I look 50 and everything. In fact, I'm playing a 50-year-old in a movie, but I became the vice president of a new company, the vice president of A&R for a new company called Route 66 Productions. So anybody in the past who's been on my show in the past 4 years as a singer, songwriter, guitar player that's really talented and has really great, like Matt O'Ree has been on my show like twice already, and Eric Stafford, well, he's not with them any longer, and I love Eric. And but anyway, to make a long story short, anybody that comes on my show, like I want them to please contact me and let me know if they'd like to meet the president and see if they want to, you know, join in with us and be heard by some of the top record companies in New York City and L.A. So that's my little for my new job that I don't. I said no, I don't want to work. I'm retired. No, thank you. I'm not into it. And by the way, just get me a hit record. I'm retired. I have 100 songs. I don't want to. I said I've been doing this for 4 years for other people. Let them take their. Anyway, I'm going off a beaten track here, but anyway, I love what I'm doing. I would you know, like really, like he always said, I want to come on your show. I want to come on your show. But he wasn't going to drive 2 hours to Hamilton Radio. I was with them for 2.5 years in Trenton, and they were the number one radio station. And they sought me out to join them and be their first live talk radio show host. Now I've been on my own. When Willie heard that I was on my own, so I sent out a newsflash. He sent me an email. Can you have me on the show? We're leaving for Spain on Saturday. I said, for you, really, anything. And I did a show for you guys.
That's
and
fantastic.
That was a few years.
Well, that's great.
That was, I'll tell you when that was. It was Willie Nile Band. I have, anyway, April 9th, 2015. That's what it looks like. Yeah. I did a show for him. And it was like, oh, thanks, Willie. Now I have to do 2 shows in 1 week. But I did it because I love you guys.
That was about 2 years ago, and I remember
yeah.
Willie asked me, we were going to, when he said he was going to come to your show, it was going to be me and him together at one point, but then it turned out you guys just did it over the phone.
Exactly, yeah, because you know what, I had so many people wanting to come on my show that lived in New York City, and they weren't going to, and in the winter, like it's the weather too, if it was a California, no problems. You know, San Diego, hey, great weather all year round. New Jersey, no. We had like, 1 year we had like, I don't know, 13 snowstorms in a row. So it was very difficult, and especially expecting like people from New York City, like Willie said, like what, he's going to drive 4 hours to be on a show. But I did interview,
right.
Actually on the Street Band. I was asked to interview Michelle Moore, and I did that. And she drove from Long Branch all the way to Trenton, and she was on one of my last people that was on my show, live talk radio show, and it was a great interview too. And I was asked to interview her, and she was really good. She was really good. So getting back to you, and I mean, I put so much. Your promo was the longest promo that I've done for any single person on the face of the earth, because you sent me your bio. And it was so much in there. I couldn't even fit, like I put in there. I said I could only put half of it on there. Because then how did you get starting movies?
Well, thanks.
Like
I really appreciate you doing that. And anyone you can give my music to, I really, really appreciate, because I am doing this all on my own. There's no record company. There's no large machine behind me or anything. So I'm literally I'm not used to asking people for anything. I'm usually the guy that does stuff for people and not ask. I had to learn how to ask by doing this record. So I am asking anyone who just spread the word around. I'm selling the CD itself with the lyrics, the credits. There's some funny artwork and stuff. I'm selling that with T-shirts and stuff on Etsy. If you know that website, Etsy, E-T-S-Y, I think it's spelled.
Yes,
yeah,
I do know it.
I have my
because
stuff on Etsy,
let me write this down. Hold on, because when I, you know, I'm going to promote after
it's real
I
easy if you write.
Then I go back and I promote the interview. So what is it? It's E T. What is it? E T
S Y.
S Y.
Yep.
And is
and then just search. Etsy.com and search. Search my name,
Johnny Pisano.
So then all the stuff will come up, and if you want something, but if you just want to hear the songs, if you have iTunes, you want to download it, I'm also on iTunes, CD Baby, Spotify, Amazon, Shazam,
all the platforms. $0.99 for a download, Johnny, are you charging $0.99 for a download?
It's the cheapest one possible. I didn't want to charge. I didn't want to charge anything too much. For the whole record, it's like $8.91 or something. Yeah, so it's like 99 cents per song. It's 99 cents per song, and then for the whole record, I think it's $8.91 or something like that.
Yeah,
it's not. It's not expensive.
Okay.
And there's nine songs, and there's a. I actually have a hidden track at the end there, which is. You know, nothing, not a full song. It's just some funny bits within the record. I ended up covering the Mighty Mouse theme, if you remember that cartoon. And I put a portion of that at the beginning of a song I wrote called Superhero. And I did the Mighty Mouse theme with Arlen Filus. Arlen Filus is a great singer-songwriter. He just put out.
I've been trying
to get in touch with him. Well, he's got a great. I will tell him to get on your show. I will call him after this interview.
Because I sent him a message. He knows who I am, and I want to have him. I already have Leon on. Tell him. I know he wrote a song for Leon, and it's in a big movie. He got a really break, and he deserved it. And I've been listening to Arlen for 5 years as well when he was doing his solo, and I've been listening to him. And he needs to come on and get a date. Now, I'm hearing some noise in the background, but I don't know if it's your something's making noise, but other than my big mouth here.
There's nothing going on. Yeah, maybe. I'm actually making myself a cup of tea. That might be what you hear. But Arlen has
picked up in the studio, but go ahead.
Right.
Arlen wrote the song for Leon Holmes, my friend.
Yeah.
And I want him on the show. So he's got to call me because I have a date for him already. And I'd like to have him on in February. And then Leon's going to be on, I think, the end of February. So they both get their own shows. And it
fantastic.
Should be that way. They're both spectacular artists.
That's great. You know, he has a home studio, and that's where I ended up going to record and cover the Mighty Mouse theme. And I sang it,
great.
And he sang harmonies on it. Yeah, he's got this great studio, and he also in his home, and he's also got these great two new records he just put out. And he's just a great guy, easygoing, real soulful cat. He's the real deal. So yeah, I would definitely suggest anyone to go sort him out for that.
Oh, definitely. I've been, like I said, I've been listening to him forever, and I did send him a private Facebook message, but I'm sure he's a very busy guy. So, I would really appreciate your talking to him and saying, hey, you better get on Nancy's show. She already has Leon set for, and I usually don't even tell people who I'm having on, but this just happened to be come out. But anyway, I always like to keep it like a surprise, I don't usually announce my guests. But
love to be on your show.
Yeah. I think I've had the best of the best, really, in the state of New Jersey and definitely Asbury Park area on my show so far. So it's been really great. And I've had the best of best people work with me on my CD. I had Jeff Levine, who's, my God, he's like He's a phenomenal guy, and he's got his own recording studio called Organic Sound Studio. He's right below Shorefire in Long Branch. And he was with Billy Joel, then he was with Hall & Oates for 9 years, and then he was with Joe Cocker until Joe Cocker passed away. He's a B3 organ player, Jeff. You must have seen him or heard him at one point around Asbury Park. And then I was lucky. I had John Harrington, who's the lead guitarist with Steely Dan. He was the guitarist on my CD for 6 songs. And what a fabulous guy. I played rhythm guitar, and at the end of it, after we finished doing all the lead guitar and 6 of the tracks, I had 12 songs on my CD. It's a compilation
wow.
CD. And then he goes, hey, Joshie, I said to him, rather, I said, John, I said, would you mind putting down the rhythm guitar on all my songs? Because I was, like, singing it. I was trying to produce it. It and keep my, and I wasn't even in good voice when I did it. I just had the money and I was ready to rock and roll and I just did it. But people didn't know anyway. And they got to hear me in good voice from when I did my songs in Texas, so it didn't matter to me. But the thing is, I'm very proud of my CD. You are making way too much noise with that T. Folks, can you believe it? Johnny Cabano, he's a star.
I don't hear that.
So he's the only one that can do it. What kind of tea are you making?
I'm making this vanilla tea. While you're talking, I'm just kind of making a tea, stirring it up.
I can hear it. It's going to be on your interview though, because it's going It's going straight through into the studio microphone. So anyway, people, Johnny is making tea right now. So while he's doing that, I'm going to do the chatter tea, because I've been talking too much. Hold on. Okay, I got a spoon. Wait, hold on. I got to wind it up. Okay, Johnny, are you ready for this? Here we go.
What are we listening to? Oh, yes.
Those are the chatter tea. So
I love it.
Now, Johnny's making his vanilla tea, and he's stirring
honey
in it.
You
asked
me a question. I did. How did you know? You're
go
psychic.
Ahead.
You said something about
yeah, I am
you were
psychic.
Watching something on TV, and I popped up. I mean, I'm an extra in a bunch
yes.
of films.
Yes.
What film?
You had a white
what
suit
film
on.
Was it?
I don't know, but
white
you had
suit.
A white suit on. It was at 2 o'clock in the morning, I think, that I saw it. And it was I think I put on an on demand movie or something. And all of a sudden, or maybe it was regular TV. I don't remember. All I know is that I go, oh my God, that's Johnny Pop. I couldn't believe.
Oh,
it
might have been it might have been when I
you had a white
I played
suit, a white suit.
Maybe not a suit, but maybe it was a white nurse's outfit. I played a nurse on Person of Interest. Was that it?
Oh, I don't know. You know what? I did watch the series Persons of Interest for a while, so it could have been that. It could have been that.
On the first episode, second episode, I was in it as an undercover detective, but that was like years ago. But then they had me on again. There was this really cool episode of when the hospital gets quarantined because of crazy disease or whatever. And I don't get lines
yeah,
or things, you know.
That.
I'm just an extra, and I do it for extra money when I'm not playing music,
right.
and that's kind of like just supplements my income. But I had lines
mm-hmm.
in a few different films, but they're short films. One of them is one of them is called Staring into the Sun. Harry Greenberger, he's actually a tech for Jesse Malin. He's also a film director and writer producer. He had me be a character in one of his films where I had a bunch of lines where I'm trying to actually pick up underage Hasidic Jewish girl in a bar. She's 16 years old, doesn't belong. It's a long story, but my scene was I'm trying to pick up this underage Hasidic girl. Pretty funny. But another one I did that I did years ago when I first joined the Actors Union, someone contacted me. It was called One Night Only, and it was a short film where I played an upright bass player, which is why he picked me, because I actually can play bass, upright bass, whatever. And I had some lines in the back, and we filmed it in the back of Terra Blues on Bleecker Street. And you can easily find that. It's on my YouTube page if you just go whatever. And it's like, you know, a minute scene or whatever it is. And I'm thinking about, you know, Vinnie Pastore and Maureen Van Zandt, Stevie's wife, they both asked me to join their acting troupe. They have like a troupe where they go and they have
right.
They do these courses. So I was thinking about maybe doing that, but music is keeping me really busy lately between me putting up my own record, and I play with a lot of different
right.
people other than Willie. Willie keeps me really busy, and he's
right.
great. But I also get hired by other people to play on their records or to
right.
do shows. I'm actually playing this Friday night, and ironically at Terra Blues with Michael Powers, this legendary blues guy. We're doing the late set. And then I'm playing with Holly Ramos on February 4th at Berlin, which is another one of Jesse Malin's bars. You know, Jesse has he's part owner of a bunch of the greatest, coolest bars in Manhattan.
Oh, that's,
and I'm playing
that's
one
great.
Of theirs, too. And then me
I
and Willie,
Jesse on my show. I
that guy, yeah,
show
you
too.
Might, you, yeah, good luck shutting him up when you talk, because that guy's got a lot of stories, and he can talk. I'll tell you now, he's got great stories. Make sure you ask him about the Arrested story, because I won't get into that. Yeah, there's a song he wrote called Arrested. The song is called Arrested. It's off his second solo record, The Heat.
Okay.
And the song's actually about me. But again, I won't get into it. That's a long story. But yeah, you should ask him about that. He's a great guy. He's helped me a lot through the years.
Well,
he's another one.
You have to help me. So I help you. You help me. Yeah, you should talk to
yeah.
Jesse and say, Jesse, have you heard about that show Lion Rocks at Asbury Park Show? Because
I will.
It's like, yeah, because I was nominated, you know, for the second year in a row in the category of top radio personality supporting local talent at the Asbury Music Awards, that's held at the Stone Pony.
That's great.
So, yeah, that was really, I almost fell off my chair because, you know, now I'm on my own, and it's my own. It's my own radio show. I own it. It's Ryan Rocks Radio. So, I'm an independent, and I'm doing very well, and I'm interviewing lots of celebrities that are on TV. I've done lots of, they call me up begging me, not begging me, but, hey, please do a show. And, you know, I have a dentist right now. He's a dentist, a musician, and a comic. And he's just doing, Jimmy Lee. I'm giving Jimmy Lee a big shout out. Jimmy Lee, my friend Jimmy Lee called me. He wants to come on again. I had him on last year. But he's been filming for the last year a reality TV show that's going to be coming out any time now. And I keep telling him, my God, I'm so busy. I don't know, Jimmy. I'm like, you know. And then, of course, I have Mike Marino. There are comedians that I had Paul Vanier on. I had Sunga ProQuest, who, when I went to do promo on her, she's sitting between Whoopi Goldberg and Joyce Behar on The View. So like, these are the people that I'm getting on my radio show, which is really cool, very, very cool. It's very exciting for me. So who knows where I'm going next? You know, I don't know. I'm doing a lot of stuff. And especially
it seems you are, yeah.
Company. Yeah. Oh, and I'm in a film, Johnny. I'm worried because I hated school too, like you. A lot of creative people don't like school. I would have rather been out in nature learning by myself, you know. But I went to parochial school, and I guess I'm thankful I learned how to print and write nice. But that's, I guess, being a little sarcastic. But the thing is, I forgot what I was going to say. Totally. In the day I went to school, you had to memorize. And they would go, okay, well, this is the line. Now say it. And how do you memorize paragraphs, you know, out of a geography book? Like, I don't know. I couldn't do that. So anyway,
practice.
I'm a little worried about my lines, but I have a pretty good speaking part in this this upcoming film. So
that's fantastic.
I start filming Saturday. So, and I've been an extra. I was in an extra with Pierce Brosnan in California. I was in a few extras in California, and that was really fun, but I didn't have any speaking. This is a full-on speaking part. So we'll see.
You're
going to
have
huge.
A lot of fun. No, but you're going to have a lot of fun doing it. You don't have to say the lines exactly the way they're written unless you're ordered to. You can say it as if the way you would say it or the way you want your character to say it. And that's
right.
That's fun.
Well,
It'll help you memorize it that way. So you don't have to memorize it word for word. You just have to know what the person's trying to convey, and just get that
right.
going. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
You're going to be great, and you can improvise in
it's
there
perfect.
If you want, and you're going to have fun.
Right. Well, I did the screenplay, and I, since I'm an entertainer anyway, and I'm a troubadour, and I've entertained not so much touring or, on, you know, anything like that. I certainly have sang with a lot. Oh, my, I wouldn't even tell you who I played with, because you'd go, oh, she's crazy. But I did. I played with Dickie Betts. He played guitar when I was 20. I sang at My Father's Mustache, Love the One You're With. And I've been, like, I've been performing since I was, like, a teenager, you know, on the streets of Asbury Park. And but to get back to you again, I mean, this has been, like, we have 10 seconds to go. We could talk for 2-3 hours, no problem whatsoever. So if there's any more promo you want to do, I'm going to shut up now. I'm so happy to have you on. I'm so happy to have your, I love, love, love your, the CD, and everybody gets a slice of Johnny Pie. And you need to be in the book of, you know, the Guinness Book of World Records for your jumping. The highest jumper holding that bass guitar in the world, because that must be very difficult to do. You got to be
It takes practice.
There.
I've been doing since I'm a kid. Well, that comes from the punk rock world of, you know, we just get aggressive as we're playing. And I've had people, Shireen and Amy, two beautiful ladies that come see us play. The girls,
right.
Shireen Strand and Amy Janine,
yes,
they were like,
they
saw us at the, great people. They came to see us at the Cutting Room for Light of Day, and after we got off, they said to me, what's the matter? Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, why? They said, why are you pissed off? Why are you so angry? I said, I'm not angry. They said, when you're playing, you make that face. And I said, why? I smiled. They go, yeah, but this time you were doing the other. Like, I just get angry when I play sometimes. I don't mess around what I'm doing. But I do smile. Of
you're
course,
serious.
I'm having a good time. I see. Yeah. Once I catch people's eyes, I'm not serious anymore. I don't take myself seriously. But when I'm playing and I'm getting into it, I do, it does, there is some anger involved, and that comes from the passion, and that also comes from the school of punk rock when I was a kid. But
right.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, if I did have to advertise anything, that's it. It's this record, the record I just put out, and it's, like I said, it's on Etsy. It's called Johnny Paisano's Punk Rock Pizzeria, and it's on iTunes and Spotify and all those platforms
right.
like that. And again, I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, my God, you're welcome, Johnny. I'm sorry I talked so much, and I didn't even eat anything today yet. I slept today. I've just been in a mode of up all night and sleeping in the daytime, and that's just the way it is. But I think you did a fantastic job on your – I love the album cover and the back. I love the saying, everybody gets a slice. It's just a really very creative, you know, pie, Johnny Pie. I just really – it's just great the way you did the back, too, with the song and each little slice.
Thank you.
And I will definitely, I'm so glad that you are charging on everything for people to hear your music, because I made the error 5 years ago of not doing that. And so everybody can download all my music from Reverb Nation, and they don't have to pay. And if they had to pay, I would have like probably $5,000, $6,000 in the bank to go on vacations
yeah.
with. But unfortunately, I didn't do that, and it's a little late. Well, it's never too late to start charging. But I think, I don't know, I'm kind of like,
well, I
could
tell you what's going
on.
Well, what's going on with music these days is really, people don't realize how bad it is until another 15 years goes by and they realize that no one's going to make any more mailbox money. So then the artists cannot afford to just be artists anymore. So the future, here's my prediction of the future of music, is going to be everyone that's going to be lawyers and accountants. They're going to be recording their songs on the weekends only, and they're going to be putting it out from their houses. Studios are going to be gone, and it's a shame because the songwriting, the artistry of the songs, that's what's going to suffer, the actual quality of the songs. If you don't live it, you breathe it. If you don't live and breathe it 24/7, it's a big difference than when you're just a weekend warrior. That's a big difference.
That's
when you jump from being a weekend
warrior.
So the 15 years from now, people are going to go, oh, we really screwed up, you know, by not charging for music. And that's a shame. But we'll see what happens. Maybe some things will change.
I had someone else help, handle that for me and put up the amount and put it up on Reverb Nation. And they didn't even, it didn't even occur to us at that time to, you know, charge for downloads. It didn't, because now, and I'm telling you too, lots and lots of luck with pushing your CD, because just promote, and be on as many sites as you can to sell it. That's all I can recommend.
Yeah.
And so many kids aren't buying. And it's a shame that you have to only charge $8 when it's worth $15, you know, but you're right.
Well, that's what I'm selling the actual CD for. So, but we're doing our best, you know, that's all we can do.
Right. Well, listen, I loved having you on.
I think
in the promo, I got every single thing out, and folks, that's only half of it. So Johnny Pye, he's on Facebook. He's everywhere. He's plays with Willie Nile, the Willie Nile Band, and with so many other bands, and he's an actor. And also, you know what? I'm going to introduce you, of course, before you even want to be introduced. So I sent all your information over to the president of Route 66 Productions to look at you, and I let him know that you're an actor as well, and who you've played with, and I mean, you know, what you've been in, Gotham, and you know, all of these great TV movies.
I appreciate it.
You know, the sky's the limit. Johnny, you know.
Yeah,
before.
Well, I really want to, you know, what?
You know,
I also really want to thank Jeff Raspy and Stu from 90.5 The Night. They've been playing the songs on the record, and Rich Russo has been playing it. So I really got to thank those guys. They're starting the ball rolling, and DJs are starting to play the songs.
Yeah, and listen,
so I'm really happy about that.
Get in touch with Hamilton Radio. They're the number one. If you Google them, they're the number one internet radio station in the state of New Jersey. And they will give you airplay. And maybe you go on there, drive up to Trenton in a month or two, go on their show. And, you know, I'll put you in touch with who to interview you there. And they will give you airplay. They're great. They're really terrific. But there's so many. I have some radio stations for you to promote your music to, but I'll private message them to you. And you can just get in touch with them yourself and say, hey, Nancy sent me to you for airplay, and then take it from there. And some of them are in Europe and some of them are in the United States. But I've got to go, and it was great having you, Johnny.
Thanks, Nancy.
And go on Casting Call. Casting Call or Casting Connection. There's so many different group Facebook pages that have, openings that are looking for, or just Google all the local producer. Oh, I know so many people, too, even that are doing, we'll talk. I'll send you all my contacts.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. Yeah,
sounds like fun. I love it.
You got it.
And you have fun. You have fun doing
yours. And don't forget to get in touch with Arlen for me and Jesse Mallon.
I will.
And now I have to say all of my nonprofits, because that's how I got into radio. My very number one nonprofit. And thank you, Johnny, so much for being on the show. It's been a real pleasure. You'll have to come on again sometime.
Will do.
Bye bye. Yeah.
Love you.
Okay.
Bye.
Well, folks, that was Johnny Pye, and go see him playing with the Willie Nile. They play the Pony all the time, and they're everywhere. Just go on the Safe page and support. Please support live musicians. He's one of the best bass players that I've ever heard, and I just really love him. So here we go with my nonprofits. So they have all been on my radio show. They are Minister Steve Brigham, 10th City of Lakewood; Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey; Allison Saho, City of Angels Recovery Radio; Bev Cruz, Hit the Streets for the Homeless; Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes; Carlos Rodriguez, he is the director of the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties. I love all these guys. They are angels on earth, I'm telling you. Paul A. Ressler, president and CEO of TUPAC, which is the Overdose Prevention Corporation Agency. Also, I have Holiday Express founder, Tim McClune. Tim McClune is a wonderful, wonderful musician, as you all know, and restaurateur. And he has Holiday Express and does so much, so much for so many people. My friend Patricia Ari, and then, as I said, they've all been on my radio show. You can go to Blog Talk Radio, scroll till you find them, and listen to the interviews. My friend Patricia Ario, artist, I call her the Tilly artist because she does wonderful Tilly art. She is with the Info Age of Science History Learning Center and Museum. My last nonprofit that I just took on, and actually it was taken on when I became the vice president of A&R for Route 66 Productions, is Jersey Shore Rescue Mission. Mr. Philip Richards, and he is the director. And go on over there. They have a great, they have so many great programs there to help people, and they also have an enormous thrift shop. I bought a fabulous pair of earrings there. It's a great, great place. Go and, you know, give your time or your talent or your tithing, whatever you can do for these people would be so appreciated. My two sponsors, I just took a sponsor on last year, and it's Dr. Inna Silman, and she's with Smiles on Broadway in Long Branch, New Jersey. And she gave me a beautiful Hollywood smile so I can be in my, yes, I don't know if, actually, I'll say the word Sean if he wants me to promote yet. But Sean is the producer, the writer and producer and director. And that's all I'll say about that until I get it okay. But I have my Hollywood smile ready to rock and roll with this new movie. And the second, of course, sponsor of mine is Mr. Charles Stone, as I call him, Good Time Charlie. And he is the president of a brand new company called 66 Productions. LLC. Well, folks, it's been a great, great show, and I think I chatted a little bit too much, but, you know, that's the way they go. It's like, that's what my family, I think my song is, you talk too much, you worry me to death, you talk too much, you even worry my pet, and with that, I'll say good night, everybody, God bless you, and I'll see you in a few Thursdays. Bye-bye.